Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up, I want to talk about the Masai Ujiri situation. We're actually going to talk about O.J. Simpson a little later in the show. And I'm going to tell you who the most important NBA free agent is. But we are discussing currently whether injuries change the way you thought about the NBA Finals, and you can weigh in on that at 855-212-4227. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. How about Reggie in Tampa Bay? Reggie, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Robin, give me a second, because I think I'm living in a bizarro world. First of all, let's address the guy who's talking about Kevin Durant was lame because he popped his Achilles. I think Kobe Bryant did the same thing. I won't call the guy an idiot because I don't know him, but his statement was idiotic. Let's talk about asterisk. There's no asterisk in 2015 with Golden State. There's no asterisk this year with Toronto. Let's go back to 2015. If you remember, LeBron drugged that team with Dellavedova being the second-best player to six games against Golden State. The following year, Love and Kyrie were healthy. Golden State was up 3-1. Draymond happened. And granted, they lost Game 7. I give you that. But I would still say that that was a coin flip. You look at this year, give me a break. People, stop it. If KD and Klay are healthy, if everybody's healthy, this is a five-game series. I'll give Toronto one game. So nothing against Toronto. Nothing against they are the champion. They'll be that for infinity. But you cannot, any reasonable person who knows about basketball cannot say that, let's not use luck, how fortunate Toronto was that KD and Klay wasn't healthy. So let's give me a break with that. Love the show, Robin.
Thank you. I mean, no, you and I are in agreement. And look, I think the Warriors with KD are basically unfair, right? Not that they did it unfairly, but they're basically unfair. So, of course, I thought they would win if they had KD. And I think you saw that for a second there in Game 5. But without KD, the Warriors are still a championship-level team, right? I mean, we've seen that. And that's where it was dead even. I think the series was dead even with the Splash Brothers against the Raptors. But then you take one of the Splash Brothers out, and that gives the Raptors Game 3. And then I think it wound up giving them Game 6. So, yeah, they won. And they deserved it. They earned it. No credit away from Toronto. But anyone with sense can see that the injuries played a role in the outcome. I mean, I don't know why that's controversial to say. Marcus in Columbia, South Carolina. Marcus, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? Well, I guess everybody forgets that when Chris Paul got injured, the Warriors were pretty much done. They would have lost that series. But
well, they weren't pretty much done. I mean, you're right that they may have lost that series. That is correct.
No, they would have lost. But I don't want to digress. But let's talk about the super team that the Warriors built. This is on them. If they would have built a team that had that was deep on their bench, that had depth, you know, they might have would have had a chance.
But Marcus, when you say this is on them, and I agree the deeper team won the series, what are you saying? You're acting as if winning three championships and going to five straight finals isn't an accomplishment and isn't something they would do again. I mean, you would prefer that they don't do that? I mean, like, when you say it's on them.
But the reason what I'm saying is y'all talk about the injuries or whatever. The injury situation and their situation of them not having the bench is their problem. They want to build a super team. That's their problem.
Sure, Marcus. I mean, like, the depth was not their strongest suit this year because of one, attrition, and two, yes, the salaries they have to pay their top guys. But you can't tell me with a straight face most teams expect two of their three best players to go down with devastating injuries. That's just not one, maybe, you know, you have to account. You can't expect two to happen in the course of the same series. Let's be real about it. Alan in Toronto. Alan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Alan?
Injuries are a factor, but this is where your bench strength comes in. Look at the Houston Astros this year. Four players on the injury list, and they're still 15 games over .500. Now, you look at the 1994-95 Houston Rockets. We don't give them an asterisk because Michael Jordan was playing baseball those 2 years.
Who said anything about an asterisk, Alan?
Yeah, okay. So, you know, Jordan, if he was playing in 94-95, they could have won eight straight.
I don't think they would have because of what we've seen here. But I'm not giving the Raptors an asterisk. I'm just saying that the injuries were a factor in the outcome of the series, not that there should be an asterisk next to their championship.
But bench strength is the key in any team because injuries are going to happen, and that's where your bench strength comes in.
Injuries are going to happen, and depth is important. But let's not act like injuries like what happened to the Warriors just happen all the time. Come on. Most teams don't deal with Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson having devastating injuries in the same series. Come on. They do happen, sure. But it's rare where there's injuries. I mean, 2015 gets brought up a lot because Kevin Love and Kyrie went down. And that's not even the same as Klay and Durant from a quality standpoint, but from, you know, it was two of the three best players on the team going down, and it made it so LeBron was by himself in the finals. Shane in Toronto. Shane, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, Robin. Thanks for taking my call, man.
You got it.
I live in Toronto, Canadian, of course, so... But I agree with you on two things. One thing, LeBron is definitely the best player to ever have lived. And the second thing is injuries 100% change his series. I couldn't be more happier, obviously, that the Raptors won. But it's so true, man. I mean, we won by 4 points. And you put both of those players in game six. And honestly, I think we're going to game seven. I think both of those players playing healthy in game six get more than the 4 points we won by. And I think we got a different outcome. It's just the truth. Call a spade, right?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I respect that, Shane. And it doesn't mean you should celebrate any less, right? Like, it's okay. Celebrate just as hard while being able to acknowledge reality. That's all I'm saying. You know?
Exactly. No, you're totally right. And, I mean, you never want to see guys go down with injuries. And I hope those, you know, two players will recover just fine. And I'm sure that they will. But, yeah, that definitely changed the series for sure.
And it takes nothing away from the Raptors. The Raptors will be NBA champions from here on. The first ever for Canada, the first ever for the franchise. Awesome. Good for them. I'm happy for Toronto. I'm happy for Canada. I'm happy for the Raptors. I'm happy for the NBA that they get a different type of champion. But, you know, Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant were hurt. It's truth. Chris in Richmond, Virginia. Chris, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Good morning. So my thing is, I think this loss in the finals for the Warriors sets them up for the future. And I know it's weird to look at it like that, but I feel like the Kevin Durant wouldn't have resigned with them if they would have won. And now that they lost and he's hurt, obviously he's going to be gone next year and Klay's going to be gone most of the next year. I feel like both of them are going to resign and the Warriors dynasty is going to continue, and it's all because of this loss in the finals. So even though they took a loss here, I think they could easily hang three more banners in the future by them losing this one final.
Well, I think age will eventually catch up to those guys, but your point is a sound one in the sense that I do think Klay, it seems, is a certainty to re-sign with the Warriors, and I do think it's more likely now than before that Durant re-signs. I mean, he can get a supermax with the Warriors. That kind of security might not be out there anywhere else. He could opt into his next year and rehab there to be comfortable, or he could, you know, if they're willing to pay the luxury tax and offer him that big supermax or the biggest deal that they can, which is bigger than he can get from another team, I think he has to really consider that at this point. Robert in Dallas. Robert, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Robert?
You know, first, let me say I'm not a Golden State fan. I was rooting for Toronto, but I think your show would be a great study on the sociology on how people just root against those on top, because what some of your callers are saying is so absolutely ridiculous. You know, about the bench strength with Klay and Durant. If you can build a bench strong enough to support those two losses, then you got probably the greatest bench in the history of basketball. I mean, of course, the injuries changed it. It doesn't take anything away from Toronto, but anybody with any kind of NBA sense thinks that both teams healthy, Toronto is better, is a nut. It's just they know nothing about basketball. It's just their hatred for Golden State, the hatred, just like the hatred for New England and Tom Brady. It's incredible how ignorant people sound on the radio. I mean, it's amazing because you can't watch one basketball game with Clay and Durant and think that Toronto is better when they're both healthy. That's ridiculous. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, you know, I don't, like I said before, I don't care who you root for. I really don't. But don't let your emotions cloud your judgment. That's all I ask. You know, keep it real. Don't let your emotions cloud your judgment. And I do very much my best to make sure that never happens. You know, because there's things that players do or teams do that I don't like. Heck, you brought up the Patriots. The Patriots have done some stuff that has nothing to do with football that I don't like. It makes me not like them. I don't like them. I root against them. I really dislike them. But they're the greatest team I've ever seen. Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. Bill Belichick's the greatest coach I've ever seen. It's the greatest dynasty I've ever seen in the history of the NFL. Full stop. And that's, I don't like that, but it is what it is. And I'm not going to, you know, ignore the truth. I'm not going to ignore, you know, logic and reason and reality because of feelings. Not going to be in my feelings. Shouts to Drake and the Toronto Raptors. 855-212-4227. Speaking of the Toronto Raptors, their team president was in a bit of a situation after the game ended the other night. And I want to talk about that because it kind of bugs me. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Professor of pop culture for you vultures. I got takes in the holster. I'm going to bolster anything that you want all the way to steaks to Ponderosa, something like that. All right, Gary in South Florida. Gary, you're on next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Gary?
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to mention that, you know, everybody wants to live by all these hypotheticals. If Durant hadn't got hurt, Clay hadn't got hurt, this would have happened, that would have happened. It's all part of the game. People are going to get hurt. I was saying to you before off air, if Belichick wasn't around for however long he's been there with the stability with Brady, they wouldn't have all those championships. If Brady wasn't around for all that time with Belichick, they wouldn't have had all of those. Everybody wants to subscribe or put a reason to what happened. It's just, it's how it is. You know, that's life. That's, you know, I shouldn't take anything away from what Toronto did. They stayed healthy. They played great. Golden State had some problems. Things happen.
I mean, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but they were a factor in the outcome. I mean, and the Raptors were prepared to benefit from something like this because they were a well-constructed team. They are a well-constructed team, and nothing will change that either. And why were they a well-constructed team? Masai Ujiri. Masai Ujiri, look, what did he do a year ago? He changed coaches when he had the coach of the year. He took a risk on Kawhi Leonard, who still might leave. But nevertheless, he decided to do the deal, and boy, did it pay off. The Raptors roster consists of zero lottery picks for them. None of their guys lottery picks for them. Masai Ujiri did a heck of a job putting this team together. That's why I was annoyed by the situation with him. After the game, you know, in case you don't know what happened, none of us know exactly what happened, but he was trying to make his way out to the court, and there was some sort of physical altercation with a police officer, and it was basically over his credential or whatnot. I've seen the videos and the footage Jerry was holding his credentials, so he had it on him. I don't know what else was needed to access the floor, and I'm not pretending to know exactly what took place there.
I think they said there was like a gold band on the arm that they were supposed to have for people to gain access to on the court.
So I'm not going to pretend I know exactly what happened because I don't, right? And until I know exactly what happened, I won't recklessly speculate. There was something that went down where Ujiri was trying to get there to the court. He was stopped, and the officer tried to physically stop him, and then Ujiri responded in kind with a shove or something along those lines. And according to the sheriff's office, a second shove made contact with the officer's face, and that's where we're at. Now, what I do have a problem with is the police in this case, the sheriff's office, escalating this. That's where, you know, that's where I can have an opinion right now. You know, and barring something emerging that's different than the story we have, where a punch was thrown or you know, a real physical assault happened, I just don't get this. It's a bad look. It's a bad look. Look, in the moment, you see why Masai Ujiri is frustrated. He's the damn president of the team. He runs the team. They just won the championship. He wants to be out there. That doesn't justify putting your hands on somebody, a cop, or anyone, right? I'm not justifying that. I don't know what happened with their interaction. And until I know exactly what happened with their interaction, I won't, you know, talk about that specific part of it. But unless that was actually like a violent act, which I seriously doubt, given who Masai Ujiri is, then let it go, right? After the fact, talk it through. Maybe apologies can be exchanged, or whoever deserves to apologize. If it's Ujiri, he can say, you know, I got out of hand, my bad. Or the cop can say, my bad for not recognizing you or believing you when you told me. Whatever happened in there, they can deal with that. They should be able to deal with that. There's no reason for this to be put on the record. There's no reason for charges to be pursued here. Come on. That, again, if something emerges that is at this point not out there, that we have no knowledge on, then I could always change my opinion. I'm always open to changing my mind. If we find out that Ujiri threw a 1-2 combination at this guy, but I seriously doubt that, right? From what's described, he's trying to get on the court. Cops trying to stop him from getting on the court. There's a frustration. There's a little shove back and forth. And then he winds up on the court. If that's what happened, they should be able to talk it through. And we should be able to move on. And maybe an apology has to be, you know, given in the moment. Whatever. But that should be the end of it. There is no reason to be now pursuing charges against the team president of the Toronto Raptors for wanting to celebrate with his team on the court. And I think you only make yourself look bad. And I if you're the police department, the sheriff's office, I think you only open yourself up to criticism. You only open yourself up to, because again, I'm not like speculating on why Ujiri wasn't recognized versus maybe how other people would be or police work in general beyond this. And some incidents we've seen, you know, across the country, obviously. And, you know, none of that is part of this isolated incident. I'll treat this as an isolated incident. I don't know this police officer. I don't know, you know, Ujiri. I don't know exactly what happened. But from how it's been described, I do know this is something that should have stayed there. It should have stayed there. And that's the only thing I have a problem with. Given the knowledge that I have, the only thing I have a problem with is the fact that they're going to escalate this. And I don't think it will happen, to be honest with you. I think this goes away. I do. But there should just be no investigation. I read the lead of the story. The Alameda County Sheriff's Office is investigating Toronto Raptors president of basketball operations, Masai Ujiri, for suspicion of misdemeanor battery on a police officer, confirmed Friday morning. Don't put this on the record. Come on. It doesn't need to be on the record. It doesn't need to be escalated. That's a bad look to escalate it. You only open yourself up for criticism for a number of reasons. including being like overly sensitive, if that's the case. Again, I get why Ujiri was frustrated. That does not justify putting your hands on a cop or anyone else. I'm going to make that clear. However, this was not an international incident. You get what happened, how it could have happened. They should be able to talk it out, move on. No harm, no foul. This is not something that should be escalated. This is not something that should be on the record. They should not be pursuing charges against the guy who put together the Toronto Raptors roster for wanting to celebrate with the Toronto Raptors after the Toronto Raptors won the NBA championship.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Talking about the Masai Ujiri situation after Game 6 as he's trying to get on the court and celebrate. I don't know exactly what happened between he and a police officer. According to reports and the sheriff's office there, the officer, I believe, physically prevented Ujiri from getting to the court. Ujiri was not happy about that and maybe shoved him a bit, and then there was a shove back and forth and whatnot. Ujiri eventually winds up on the court. To me, you know, these sort of things have happened in the past with security or police officers and the like, and I'm not justifying anybody putting hands on anybody else. Like, you know, Masai Ujiri is the president of the team. You get why he's frustrated. He can't be out there on the court. He maybe could have handled it differently. I don't know what provoked him, but I'm guessing he could have handled it differently because you shouldn't put your hands on somebody, and you shouldn't put your hands on a cop or anybody. At the same time, this is also the kind of thing that I think can be dealt with in the moment. Hey, I'm sorry. Or let's talk this through. Let's leave friends. Or, you know, this is why I didn't let you on the court. Oh, okay, I understand. I'm sorry for how I responded. End of story. The problem I have here is with the pursuit of possible charges or in the investigation from the sheriff's office. To me, that's just a bad look. There's no need to escalate this. There's no need for it to be on the record. The guy runs the team. He was trying to celebrate with the team. Let's not make this an international incident when it doesn't need to be. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Sam in South Carolina. Sam, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, I have to disagree with you about the Raptors president. I understand what you're saying, but if it was a regular fan, if it was you or me, we put our hands on a police officer or someone under those circumstances.
Well, that's not true because the owner, the part owner of the Warriors who shoved Kyle Lowry, he didn't get arrested.
Put your hands on a police officer, though, and see what happens. You're going to be charged. He should not have any special circumstances. It's the whole basis of Western law. Of course, we know justice is for sale. We know that it happens.
I mean, we can. I don't know if you can really like apply like the law applies to everybody standard right now. you know, as far as look again, Sam, I'm not justified, but there have been plenty of circumstances. Plenty. This would not be an isolated exception that's made for Masai Ujiri, where the full extent of what might be possible is not pursued. That happens all the time. All the time. There are people who get pulled over and don't get a ticket, right? When technically you can issue them a ticket for that, but you give them a warning. That happens all the time. So to say that they must therefore pursue charges, considering how unique this circumstance is and how benign I believe the actual physical interaction was, I that's where we disagree. Because to me, it only makes you look worse if you're the sheriff's office by bringing charges, because you're bringing extra attention to this, and it makes it seem like you're taking yourselves too seriously in that regard, being a little too sensitive in my mind.
I think that the Raptors president, I think he took himself a little bit too seriously. Hey, we just won the championship. Maybe I can do what I want to, yada, yada, yada.
But again, did you hear me say it doesn't justify him putting his hands on a cop or anyone else? But that doesn't mean he has to be arrested.
Yeah, just too quickly, if I can add something, please.
Yeah.
It was nice to see someone like Kawhi Leonard win a championship. I'm more of a college fan. I don't watch the NBA as much. But, of course, I've followed it ever since I was a kid. All sports, I know a little bit about what's going on. But nice to see someone like Kawhi Leonard win a championship. Quiet person, kind of humble. The NBA is just so full of drama queens. They're all the stars. They're all, almost all of them are such drama queens. And to have somebody like that win, it's nice.
Well, you know, it's funny. If we go back a year ago, what would people be saying about Kawhi Leonard a year ago? No one's saying, oh, I love Kawhi Leonard a year ago. It was like, what a terrible dude trying to get his way out of San Antonio. I mean, drama queens has such a negative connotation. I want to push back on it some. NBA superstars are powerful in the sense that they have more power than any athlete in sports, maybe outside of top soccer players internationally, but at least domestically here, because they influence the outcome of games the most and because they are able to take their circumstances into their own hands. And I think a lot of people have a little bit of a brushback with that. We see that with the Anthony Davis situation. We saw it with the Kawhi Leonard situation last year. We've seen it with LeBron situations in the past. They're upsetting the typical power structure. It's why when Rich Paul, did you see Rich Paul was on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week? Rich Paul, the old guard, hates him. And I think it's because he's disrupted the status quo. Label owners hate me. I'm raising the status quo up. You know, he's disrupted the status quo. And the people in power hate that because it's been a certain way for a long time. That doesn't mean what he's doing is wrong. You know, like, you know, I hear all the time, he's doing wrong by Anthony Davis, his client. Is he? You know, if Anthony Davis wants to be on the Lakers and he gets him on the Lakers, that's the job of an agent to do what the client wants. And are some NBA players over the top? Sure, I guess. But at the same time, many of them are just controlling their own fate, and many of them are just embracing the star power that comes along with being a superstar in the NBA. And I think the media and fans are just as complicit in all that if you want to have a backlash to it, because we're the ones who blow everything out of proportion or talk about every little rumor and speculation like it's the truth, or every little interaction between a player and somebody else as if it's an international, you know, terrible thing that happened. So I do, you know, when I hear in back-to-backs, when I hear in triple succession, one that Masai Ujiri should, that the cops should, you know, go after Masai Ujiri, and then that I like college and I don't really like the NBA, and then that all NBA stars are drama queens, my spider sense tingles a little bit. Joe in Tennessee. Joe, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Joe?
My position is this. I'm in Alabama.
Sorry, you broke up for a second there. What did you say?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I'm a lawyer in Alabama, and I live in a little small rural community called Flintville, Tennessee. My position is this. Every day throughout America, young black kids and young Hispanic kids have encounters with law enforcement people for stuff that is absolutely insignificant. And oftentimes, because they are so powerless, they are arrested. And these are college kids who have the rest of their life ahead of them. And they have criminal records for having put their hands on an officer when maybe it wasn't true, or it was an insignificant situation that's not even on the radar compared to what we're talking about. And oftentimes, it's not until something happens to somebody who has name recognition do you then focus attention on some part of your society that needs to be looked at and addressed. So therefore, but it's an opportunity for the NBA, just like the NFL, to take a look and see what social evils of injustice exist to people that they may be able to help by an incident like this.
You know, Joe, your phone broke up a little bit. I understand the broader point you're trying to make. And look, there are certainly issues that need to be discussed and dealt with in this country as it relates to that. Obviously, we know, I mean, when we were talking sports talk radio, how big a topic was Colin Kaepernick for the longest time. And the reason that Colin Kaepernick initially started his protest was police brutality. Just yesterday, I saw a horrifying footage of a law enforcement encounter with a black family, a young woman holding a pregnant baby, and apparently a little girl had shoplifted by accident a 99-cent Barbie, and they were threatening, you know, deadly force, and it was caught on videotape. And those things are horrible, and of course they need to be dealt with, and all that. In the interest of fairness, though, I'm not going to take this situation to that level because I don't know what happened between this officer and Masai Ujiri. Is there a chance, you know, because Masai Ujiri is a black executive and doesn't look the part, that he was stopped? Sure. I would not put that past being the reality. We see stuff like that all the time. I mean, Jeremy Lin a lot of times doesn't get let on team buses or whatnot because people don't think he's an NBA player. I mean, things like that, profiling does happen, right? I mean, that's a reality. However, this guy also could have been doing his job, and maybe Masai didn't have the proper credentials and he was trying to stop him to check that, and Masai reacted in the heat of the moment trying to get and celebrate with his team. So that's perfectly reasonable too. And I'm not going to put the, you know, depth of some of the issues that have happened with minorities and law enforcement and what can be possibly done about that on this one guy without having any knowledge. That's not fair. That's not fair. He could have just been doing his job. What I have the problem with, and again, what I've been saying, and what I think it's fair for me to say, that goes beyond speculation, because a lot of that, what I just said, was speculation based on overarching themes that we've seen. But I try to treat each incident individually so I can be fair to all parties involved. And in the interest of fairness, I'm not going to judge this officer. I'm not really going to judge Masai either. I don't know exactly what happened. If he was stopped and he wanted to get out there and he was frustrated and he responded physically, that's wrong. He shouldn't have done it, right? You shouldn't put your hands on others. You shouldn't put your hands on a cop or anybody else. Where I have the issue is with them escalating it, with the police department or the sheriff's office, I guess technically, escalating it and investigating it. This is not something that needs to be put on the record. It's already gotten attention. Obviously, I'm talking about it. It's gotten attention. It already is a thing that happened. It can't be put back in the box. But to me, from how this was described, it sounds like the kind of thing where the two parties could have gotten together and talked it over, and maybe apologies go one way or the other or are exchanged, and then we all move on. It certainly doesn't seem to me that like the kind of physical interaction that needs to be dealt with legally or be put, you know, again, on the record. That's my read on the whole situation, and that's what would bug me, because this is why I say it's a bad look for the sheriff's department. I think it's a bad look for the sheriff's department to escalate this unless there's something we don't know about, unless there's a level of physicality from Masai that is heretofore unknown, like, again, like he threw a combination at the guy. By escalating it, they only open themselves up to criticism about the broader issues in the way that minorities have been policed in this country. That's the truth of the matter. Because then you start wondering about profiling, you start wondering about whether, you know, the same thing would happen to a white executive or not, if they actually bring the charges. If they don't bring the charges, to me, no harm, no foul. I'm not going to you know, overanalyze the specific interaction again, because I want to be fair to this officer and everybody involved, because not every situation is the same. Just because you see something happen one place doesn't mean it's what happened in another place. But by bringing it, by escalating it, they would be opening themselves up to that sort of criticism. And whether or not that's fair, because they could believe that this incident, you know, just because he's the team president of the Raptors doesn't mean that he should be able to make physical contact with a police officer, and it could have nothing to do with race in this instance. At best, I think you look petty and sensitive by doing so, which isn't a good look either. And that's until I have more information on that, I really don't have much else to say about it. I just don't think we you know, should be talking about this story again moving forward. I don't want to read a breaking news update. Charges have been filed against Raptors team president Masai Ujiri. Come on. The guy just, you know, built a championship team and wanted to be out there celebrating with a championship, their championship. And I find it hard to believe that he did anything warranting arrest or charges in that moment. Maybe he did something he regrets, but I don't think he did something that should be committed to the record. 855-212-4227. Masai, of course, made the big trade for Kawhi Leonard, who is now a free agent. Where Kawhi winds up, it's going to be a big story. Of course, Kevin Durant, where he winds up, we've been talking about that for a year. That is going to be a big story. If he stays in Golden State or somebody else wants to still offer him a max deal with that ruptured Achilles, which I guess technically isn't ruptured anymore because he got the surgery, but the recovery from the ruptured Achilles. But I don't think Kawhi Leonard nor Kevin Durant is actually the most impactful free agent when it comes to next season. I think there's a guy out there on the market who could have more impact on the results of next season. And I'll tell you who that free agent is coming up next. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. The most significant free agent in the NBA, at least when it comes to next season, may not be Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard. It's the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.